What's up, everybody? This is Joe.
And this is Chrissy.
And we've been trying to record this podcast for an hour and a half now, but we are dealing with a baby, so.
And this is also the married life.
Welcome to the married life.
Welcome to the baby life.
Yeah, that's how it is. In case this is your first time with us, we exist to help build stronger marriages, to create stronger families, to form stronger communities. And we really believe that. We really believe as the marriage gets stronger, the family's going to get stronger, the community will get stronger.
Yep.
Especially if, like, and then as the family gets stronger, the marriage has to get stronger. If not, you just want to lose your mind. So that's what we're dealing with a 9-week-old right now. I was rocking him, though, and as he was rocking, he was smiling and snoring at the same time. It was really cute. And then as soon as I lay him down, he wakes back up. And
I know.
And it's like, what do you do?
What do you do?
You give him to mom. So in case anybody was watching right now, Chrissy looks beautiful after just wrestling a baby for 40 minutes while I worked on other stuff.
Oh, and now we're jumping into this. Here we go.
Listen, again, if it's your first time with us, you can check us out. More information at themarriedlife.org. We have resources. We have coaching. If you want to do one-on-one coaching with Chrissy and I, and when I say with Chrissy and I mainly mean Chrissy because she's the coach. I'm just the talker. We were talking to Ryan and Mackenzie, that's my brother and sister-in-law, last night, and they were saying how some friends of ours, the wife is a really good counselor, and the husband just sits there and looks like, yeah, and just nods. I'm like, that's what I got to do. That's my, like, I'm just learning. I'm just learning. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So you can go to themarriedlife.org, book coaching. Chrissy has her blogs up there. You can give towards the married life right there. Help the ministry continue to grow, reach more couples, because we really want to do that. We want to invest in couples, and we want to be for free. So even the coaching is free because we believe that people are just going to invest in the married life, and that helps us coach people for free. So if you're thinking, oh, I need coaching, me and my spouse, but we don't have money, sign up anyways. And then also, I'm doing a, it'll be on the website, and it's also going to be a podcast. It's a spinoff of The Married Life. It's called Pick a Fight. It's just for men. I might put the first episode on The Married Life so people see it, and then it pushes them to the actual Pick a Fight podcast. That's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks, you know, probably maybe the beginning of April, that we'll launch that. And so I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be fun. And the whole point of that is all men, we pick fights. We just got to pick the right fights. That's the premise. We're going to focus on four things: leadership, lust, relationships, and spirituality.
Yep.
We're always going to rotate through those things.
That's good.
And in case you guys didn't know, we are pastors, so we will be bringing up Jesus in these conversations. You might not be spiritual, but I guarantee that even as we're going through this, you're going to be like, oh, wow, that makes sense. You know, even our last podcast, it really dealt a lot with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we even took things from clinical psychologists and what they say about what you're meditating on and what that looks like.
Yeah.
So again, we use what's going on in today's world, and it's backed by the Bible.
Yep.
And so we're actually going to be going through Song of Solomon, which I'm excited about. We're going to be doing a series. Yeah. And so in case you're one of those weirdos that think this is a story about Jesus, it's not. This is a man and a woman talking to one another.
Yeah.
And so, and again, if you are in the Northwest Indiana area and you need a home church, we'd love to invite you to our church. We're actually having an Easter pop-up service at the Hobart Art Theater. It's 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Central Time. So if you're local, come check us out. That'd be awesome to have you there. And you can find the event on Facebook. And like I said, it's on Easter Sunday, right?
Yeah.
April 4th.
Yeah.
9 a.m., 11 a.m.
It's on our social medias, so you can go find it and join.
Yeah. We'd love to have you there. So let's get this started. Now, today's conversation is going to be about the man.
Mm-hmm.
Because the book of Song of Solomon is broken up into multiple spots where the man's talking, the woman's talking, God's talking, friends are talking.
Just different conversations.
Different conversations. We're going to focus on the aspect of when he's conversing and her, but how it's all aimed towards the man.
Yeah.
Next week, we're hitting on the woman.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit on that woman.
Oh, my gosh.
I just pointed to my wife in case you didn't know. So anyways, we're going to start off in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out." And as we were reading that, really, when you think of Jesus, and especially we're getting around that Easter time, that he poured out his life for you and I. And when you look at this, a godly man, he is a man of Christ-like character.
Yeah.
We have to have the characteristics of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his characteristics was pouring himself out. And so men, the question is, how do you pour yourself out for your wife?
Yeah, I think naturally, women too. This is, obviously we can apply certain things to women too. But I think as men, it's naturally, if we're not concentrated on the characteristics of Christ, it can come out more prideful,
yep,
or arrogant, mm-hmm, or selfish. Mm-hmm. Same thing for a woman too. And that's why we're focusing on, how do I get this back in alignment with Jesus?
Yep. Yep. And so when it talks about even an oil, you know, like we have essential oils that actually run in our office and it smells really good. And those essential oils are pure.
Yeah.
And we are natural sinners, right? Like we just, you know, you're a sinner, but then you get married and you're like, oh my gosh, I am super selfish.
A selfish sinner.
I'm a selfish sinner. And then you have children and you're like, oh, I'm the worst human in the world. You know, like it's just like, even right now we're complaining about a 9 month or 9 week old baby, you know? And when I was rocking him, I was like, this is just a season, you know, it just is. But we're sinners. And again, the only way for us to be truly purified oil is by giving our lives fully over to Christ. And we've talked about this before. I don't know how people have a healthy relationship without Jesus being the foundation of that relationship.
Yeah.
Because so many things, again, you might not be a Christ follower, but if you go and you look at the way that Jesus just lived, if you live that way, not even believing he was the Messiah, that he is God, that he is Lord of all, and you start living that way, your marriage will get better.
Yeah.
Because the way that he lived, he was a servant. Mm. He, you know, I mean, the Bible talks about that he didn't count himself as equal to God, but he came as a humble servant, not to be served, but to serve.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Because what if I do that for you? How much better would our marriage be?
Yeah.
If I just walk in with that attitude,
yeah,
that Chrissy is greater, I am lower, I want to serve her, not expect her to serve me.
And here's the thing. So if you look at oil and the way that it's ever been made, I don't know if anybody's ever looked at it, but they call it like the pressing, and it's pure. So all of the impurities need to be filtered out. Mm-hmm. And so I think like in marriage, you can have a great marriage when there's no problems. You can have a great marriage definitely when there's no kids, because they will just, they'll find all the impurities in you.
They do. They help us get better.
They do.
There are filters.
They're the pressing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus is the filter. But if you look at that process, the olives or whatever oil you're using, we'll just say olive oil, they're being pressed and crushed. Mm-hmm. So in our marriage, it's not the easy times that help us build our character.
Yeah.
It's the really tough times.
Yep.
And it's in those moments that you need to choose,
yes,
these characteristics. It's when you're fighting, or when finances are really tight, or when your children are sick, or when jobs are stressful. We need to choose, yep, the right attitudes and the right characteristics that we're going to bring forth to our spouse. And then after doing that multiple times over and over and over again, then your character, then your integrity starts to build and it becomes more of a natural thing. Mm-hmm. And those are when the oils start to come out and they're fragrant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you even think about it, like so many times it's hard to put it in the practical when it comes to relationships. But if you go to a gym or I go to a gym, the goal is that we are being pressed with heavy weight to, yeah, get stronger. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing relationally, right? Like when we get pressed, we get stronger together.
Yeah.
And so again, the first one is that we are, a godly man is a man of Christ-like character. Okay. Second one, Song of Solomon 1:3, continued. It says, therefore, virgins love you.
Wow.
All the single ladies be loving you. No, that's not what it's about. What it's saying here is that you have good reputation. A godly man should have a good reputation. Mm-hmm. You should be liked by her friends. You should, yeah, be liked by her family. You should be liked by her parents.
Yeah.
I think your dad really does like me.
He's grown to love you.
Yeah, he has, you know. but it's not, you don't want to be the person that is always, whenever there's family or friends around, you're off in the corner and you're that weirdo. You know, like,
yeah,
you guys are part of each other. You have become each other's life now, you know, like to become one. Mm. And so our relationships need to reflect that.
Well, I even think like this isn't when we were married, but I still think it applies. But we were not living for Jesus and we were not Christ-like. And our own friends, I feel like didn't like us.
I didn't like us.
Touche. But nobody wanted to hang out with us.
Nope.
Because we sucked.
We were those people that when we show up to the party, people are like, oh God, crap. Joe and Chrissy are here.
And it's not like if I would have showed up by myself or if you would have showed up by yourself.
Yep.
Totally fine.
When we were together,
it was terrible.
It was drama. Mm. You could not keep your Lips under control.
Oh, you calm down. Don't you be pointing fingers at me.
And so again, like just asking, what is your reputation? There's actually a quote that John Maxwell has.
Yeah, it's really good. I was actually reading it the other day. It says, we aren't who people say that we are. We are who people believe. Let me say that again, guys. That's a tongue twister. We aren't who people say that we are. We are who people believe that we are. And so you have to, if somebody knows you for, you know, a couple weeks, you can kind of fake it. But when somebody starts to get to know you year after year after year, after situation, after circumstance, after hard time, that's when our true character really comes out.
Yeah.
And that's when they believe who we are. Because from a distance, listen, on this social media, on this podcast, on wherever you're listening, we probably look real good or sound really good and have all the good advice.
Yep.
But I love you all. Your opinion doesn't matter. It's my family. Mm-hmm. It's you, my husband. It's my kids. Those are the people that I really care about. Who, they know who I am.
Yep. Because you can impress people from a distance.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the people up close that they really see the wrinkles, right? We were talking about that the other day. Man.
Not people are going to look, Joe.
Well, most people listen. They don't even watch on YouTube. But if you want to look at Chrissy's wrinkles, go to YouTube. Dang.
Shots fired. I'm dealing with, everybody?
Well, listen, before we even started this podcast, Chrissy looked at me. She's like, you know, your hair's not done right. I'm like, I'll get a hat.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Anywho, next in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, I compare you, my love, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariots.
Wow.
Yep. Talking about them horses.
What does that mean?
I've got to ride you like a pony, girl.
Stop it. Oh, my gosh.
This is the Married Life Podcast.
Calm down. What if people are listening in the car with their children?
Well, they shouldn't. Okay. This is like, I wouldn't say it's rated R, but it's definitely rated like adult. You know what I mean? Because we're having adult conversations. Anyways, it does not mean ride your spouse like a horse. If you actually look back, what this is referring to is that anytime Pharaoh went out in Egypt, right? Pharaoh was a narcissist. He thought everything revolved around him. He would send out the most beautiful horse to announce, here comes Pharaoh. Everybody get on your face, worship him, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful, white, spotless horse. It was big. It was magnificent, you know? And so you are my big, magnificent steed that I want to ride, girl.
Stop.
No, but what this is saying is he, as Solomon is saying this, he's saying, I value her.
Yeah.
And it's saying the same thing. How am I, like a godly man, values his wife?
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, and this is true. Like, you make me look better. Right. So there's been times where whether I've done job interviews or we've done different things for pastoring, different counseling, whatever, I'm always like, I need Chrissy with me. Even if she's not talking, she makes me look better. But then when you talk, it makes me look way better. Like people are like, how did this bozo land this genius?
I'm your unicorn.
You are my unicorn. And that we'll change that word, you know, instead of his myrrh, instead of his chariot, it's his unicorn.
It's his unicorn.
You're my unicorn.
Oh, yeah.
It's true though. You make me look better. And even thinking about, when it comes to my, like valuing you, you are above friends, above hobbies, above job. Like you are my number one, aside from Jesus, you know, like I have to value that much. And that's what, you know, we enjoy spending time with each other,
yeah.
You know, like we still have hobbies. Like I go to the gym. I don't know what you do. You raise kids, I guess. Like you don't have a hobby.
I was wondering where you were going.
Yeah,
with that.
I don't have one. But so like Ephesians 5 says that I need to love my spouse like I love my own body. Like we, again, two become one.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when I hit the gym, I'm taking care of myself, not to look the best, but to be healthy.
Yeah.
And it's like the same thing. How am I taking care of you, pouring into you, dedicating things to you, serving you, making sure that you are healthy, like truly valuing you, like I value my health.
Yeah.
You know, and that's again for all of us men thinking, how am I valuing my spouse? Mm. What do I do for her?
No, I think that's good. And I want to challenge the wife here. If that's your responsibility as the husband, is to take care of me and value me. Well, I need to be of value. I need to love you.
That's good.
I need to respect you. I need to honor you. I need to respect and honor myself, take care of myself so that I want you to be proud of me. I want you I want to be your unicorn.
Yeah.
I want you to be proud of me in public, and it's not perfection. I want to just clarify that. It's not that you have to look and be a certain way, because beauty does come from within.
Yep.
It's the way that we talk. It's the way that we respond. It's all of those types of values. Yep. Yes, eat right, take care of your body, do all those things that you know how to do, but just some things are out of your control, especially after having three babies.
Yep.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
But what I'm saying is I want to be of value to you. I want you to want to value me.
Yeah.
And so I just want to challenge the wives and the husbands, because this could go both ways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, be of value.
I even think, you know, like as talking about value is we value our cell phones, right? Like we put cases on them. We put a cover on the front because we don't want those things to break, to crack, to chip. Like what protection do I put around you? You know, it's like I got a football back there. You know what? Yeah. My bubble girl. But it is. It's like, you know, you have to think again, like what protections am I putting around my spouse to show her I value her? So again, like when it comes to financially, like providing resources for you, putting food on the table, taking
being
you
responsible
on dates.
With your finances. I think that's really good.
That's a value.
We need security as women. So I agree with that.
Yeah. So you guys, I mean, so the men even out there, again, I think we might have said this before, but you can ask your wife, how can I show you that I value you?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, again,
she's probably already, here's the thing. She's probably already telling you whether it's you spend too much time doing this or doing that. That means you're not valuing her.
Yep.
She feels that you're putting those things above her.
Yeah.
If she's bringing up things repeatedly, wives do it respectfully. But if she's doing it repeatedly over and over and asking you like, hey, quit playing video games. Hey, quit going to the golf course, whatever it is. Listen to those things. She's telling you already.
Yeah. Or do you need to be at the gym for 3 hours? Like I purposely try to have a 45 minute workout or less to be home and not like being like so away from the house for so long, you know? And so it is. It's just valuing time with you and what you need help with and not just like, oh, this is my time. I'm going to be gone for 3 hours, you know? It's like, of course, we all need time away, but you do too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do.
I'll get you a membership somewhere. What kind of membership you want, babe? I'll get you a Costco membership.
I'm laughing, but it's true.
All right. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments.
Ooh, girl, I'm going to get some piercings. What are those called?
Gauges?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. But your cheeks are lovely with ornaments. Mm-hmm. When I read that, I was thinking Christmas tree. Like, I'm going to decorate you like a Christmas tree, girl. Your neck with strings of jewel. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 10. A godly man speaks kindly to his wife.
Yeah.
Men, how are you encouraging your boo? How are you doing that? Like something simple we do, we write notes to each other. You know, we text each other. I try to get her to sex. Shane about that.
I can't.
Yeah, I get it. You know?
I will mess it up.
I get it. You know? But anyways, Hebrews talks that we're supposed to encourage each other daily.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, if I'm not encouraging my spouse, you know, first, here's the thing, guys. I want to teach you guys this. You need to encourage yourself. Because your spouse can never be the one that encourages you to be the man that you're supposed to be. Mm. Only you and Jesus can get to that milestone. Your wife doesn't make you a man. Your wife did not marry a boy to help become a man.
Yeah.
She married a man, you know? Like, so man up, encourage yourself. And if listen, you got to fake it till you make it. Tell yourself how good you are at something. Talk yourself into it. And then as you're encouraging yourself, you'll be able to encourage your wife.
That's good.
So you want to encourage her daily.
Yeah. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. It just is. And like you said, fake it till you make it. Some of you are in a dead relationship because you killed it.
Yep.
With your words.
Yep.
All, I mean, it's just the simple things. I mean, I think going back to like when you first dated, you didn't have to think enough. Everything your spouse did was right and perfect. You know, don't let the filters of life fog that up.
Yeah.
Go back to the basic things.
Yep.
We just need basic love. Yeah. We don't need complicated things.
Yep. Well, we kind of talked about that last week, you know, like when we aren't grateful and we don't show gratitude for where we are now.
Yeah, that's good.
But we look at the past, what it used to be, or we're looking ahead of what it could be.
Yeah.
But we need to be grateful for where we are right now with our spouse.
Yeah. No,
because
that's good.
Your wife is going to live up to the blessings that you bless her with, or she's going to fall to the curses that you curse her with.
And that goes the same for your husband.
Yep. So speak life into your wife.
It's good.
Yep. Okay, here we go. Number six, verse 11. We will make for you ornaments. Now we're talking about making ornaments. Mm. And listen, I'm not creative, so I can't be making nothing. studded with silver. Well, okay, men, you don't have to make your wife something, but godly men pursue.
Yeah.
You know, like, because Christy and I, we were talking about these notes earlier. She's like, you used to buy me Coach purses, you know? Like, yeah. You buy me jewelry. I remember I bought you that old Sony camera. Remember when people actually had to have cameras? Like, now it's like you either have a DSLR or you have an iPhone, you know, or whatever smartphone. But like back then it was like the digital camera, yeah. You know, it's like,
it was pink. It was cute.
Oh, it was cute. Really cute. But it was like, I would pay attention to the things that you wanted, you know, like I would pursue you, and whether it's bringing flowers home to you, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's the dates, whether it is buying you things that you, you know, talk about at stores and I write it down. Like, how am I pursuing you?
Yeah.
Writing you letters. Yeah, looking at your Pinterest. That is such a good idea. Wife hack. Look at your wife's Pinterest board. Boom.
You did. I think you bought a necklace off of that or something.
I did. I did. That gold one that I haven't seen you wore in a little bit.
You know what? I can't find it. I think it's in a bag because we were traveling and I think I put it in a bag. I got to find it.
It's cool. It's cool. you just, guys, and here's the thing, like, your wife might not feel loved by gifts, like, so you got to know her,
which I don't.
Yeah,
that's not my love language.
No,
but that was a really thoughtful one.
What are five love languages? What are they? Go.
Oh gosh. Acts of service. Yep. I feel like I'm an inquisitive. Okay, acts of service. Yep. Quality time. Yep. Words of affirmation. Yep.
We just talked about one.
What are they? Oh, gifts. And acts of service. Did I say that already? I don't know. What's the other one?
What is it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Google it.
So anyways, yeah, know your spouse's love language.
Yeah, it's so easy. Don't overestimate that thing.
Yeah.
Are you Googling it?
I am Googling it. So keep talking while I look this up.
Oh, okay. So I think we try to overcomplicate these love languages. I'm telling you, it will simplify your life. Don't try to buy your spouse gifts, waste your money, go into debt. If that's not her love language, that's stupid. I want quality time with my spouse.
Or, physical touch. We missed physical touch.
How do we miss that one?
I don't know, because I want it.
My goodness. Oh. So you're simplifying it. Sometimes people have two, but one's like really the majority. And so just figure it out. But here's the thing. We change over time. Mm-hmm. I'm not the same person that I was when we got married. And so you have to actively just be aware of your spouse's needs.
Yep,
like acts of service are probably going to be more higher priority when you have little kids. Help around the house, do things. I told you the other day, I'm like, I feel like a maid. I am over it.
Yeah, we need to hire one of those. So godly men pursue your spouse by knowing their love language.
Yeah.
Because again, if you're not speaking their love language, you're speaking another language and they don't know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up. Chapter 1, verse 12 through 14 says, while the king was on his couch, my nard gave forth its fragrance. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh that lies between my breasts. Ooh, girl, that's where I want to be. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of En-Gedi.
Mm.
Now, we're going to focus on the word En-Gedi. En-Gedi is an oasis.
Yeah.
You should be an oasis to your spouse.
Yep.
You know, Pastor Mike and Julie, they talk about this, like when they struggled in their marriage, when she would get, or when he would get home and she would hear the car
or the garage
or the garage. Door. Yep. It was like, you know, like it was not an oasis.
Right.
Because he wasn't living for Christ at the time. He mm-hmm. was, excuse me, living for himself, selfish desires and stuff. And same thing, like when we get home and our spouse hears our car, here's the door, when I walk out of the office, when you hear like the door brush against the carpet, you know, like it should set off peace, not
here,
you know,
comes.
Like, yeah, exactly, like hide everything, you know, an atomic bomb's supposed to go off. It should be an oasis.
Yeah,
you know, when we think of an oasis, you think of something that is refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you refreshing to your spouse?
Yeah.
Or are you draining?
Yeah,
you know.
And don't focus on your spouse being your En-Gedi. Mm-hmm. Focus on you being En-Gedi.
Come on.
How can you be refreshing to your spouse? What does your spouse need?
Yep.
And I'm telling you, it is not, you might think, oh, she's going to want this, that, and the other thing, and she's so needy, and da da da. I guarantee if you get to the root of it, it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably root issues that need to be dealt with, but I guarantee if you go back to the basics and start pursuing your spouse the way that they want to be pursued and meet the needs of them, it's not going to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a couple more left, but we're running out of time. So I think we should actually finish on that one.
Yeah, that's
the
good.
Oasis. You know, like even thinking, how are you and Getty to your spouse? Do you create the home as in Getty?
Yeah.
Is the home a peaceful place? What about your car? Like, man, some of you need to clean out your car, including me. You know, like I was looking the other day. I was like, man, I got some water bottles on the ground, got some wrappers. I'm pretty sure those are your wrappers.
They are mine.
Okay, but that's still. Right. I want to make sure that when you get in the car, like even I need to fix your car because the door handles broke off. Like it is not peaceful every time I'm in the driver's seat and you're looking through the window like you have to open the door because the door handle is broke and I can't get in.
I just want you to be a gentleman and open the door for me.
Yeah. So I'm just like leaning across and throwing it open and hitting you with it. But what is an Getty? And that again, you know, like it can be a great conversation to have with your spouse. Like, mm-hmm. how do we bring more peace into this house?
Yeah.
You know, how do I bring more peace into the bedroom? You know, I'm sure something I could do to bring more peace in the bedroom to make it easier is just constantly have my clothes off for you.
That, like that is literally what I was thinking.
That's your an Getty. You're welcome. one of the things we're going to talk about is that men, we focus on her eyes. Because in verse 15, it says, my beautiful, my love, behold, your eyes are like doves. Men, we don't just focus on the body. We focus on the eyes, even though the eyes are a part of the body. But you know what I'm talking about. Just don't focus on sex. Your wife is not a prostitute. But even from this conversation, I need to work on that because I talk about sex all the time.
Yeah.
I just really enjoy you. I love you. Anyways, my name is Joe.
And I'm Chrissy.
And we're so glad that you guys joined us today. Sorry this went a little long today, 7 minutes over. We always try to keep these at 20, but I am a talker. We'll try to wrap it up for you. If you want more content, visit us at themarriedlife.org, where again, you can sign up for coaching, hear other podcasts, YouTube videos, Chrissy's blogs, and you can donate to the ministry. Mm-hmm. And then also, like we said before, if you're going to be in Northwest Indiana on Easter, we'd love to have you at the Hobart Art Theater. That's where we will be having a pop-up Easter service with V1 Church, 9 a.m., 11 a.m. We'll be there. We hope to see you there too.
Yep. And remember, we're here to help you build a stronger marriage, to create a stronger family, to form stronger communities.
See you guys.
Bye.